from God's Word, you should not have both either. The practice of healing brought forth in this book of James. I know you're going to like it. James, that great book of instruction. Father Abraham. Now, he's a father that God picked as an example. Does he have something to do with your life today? You bet he does. Because he was to be, when his name was changed from Abram, which it was in the beginning, a high father in the Hebrew tongue, to Abraham, it meant father of a multitude. Why does it have something to do with you today? Because through him would come Christ, the Messiah. And that is a blessing to not just a few, but to a multitude, whomsoever will. And we thank our Father for that. But I thought it would be interesting to go back. The promises he made to Abraham still apply, even to this day. He promised Abraham that his seed would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And they have. And from this you find out where the superpower of superpowers came from in this end generation. A lot of people think, America and the Bible, you bet it is. Why, do you think our Father's that forgetful? That he would forget a whole people as they migrated and gathered back together and were then blessed? Have you ever pulled a coin out of your pocket and it says, "In God we trust"? It makes a difference. And you are in part a part of that people that would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And that God would bless if the nation is blessed, period. But the citizenry thereof is blessed when they truly follow our Father's teachings. Those of you that care to make a deeper study of it, we have a little booklet called The Abrahamic Covenant. And it's quite interesting, something for you to consider. Open your Bibles, if you would. Let's go to chapter 12, the great book of Genesis. And with this, we pick up Abraham. I want to pick up his blessings and why God chose him. God chose him because God could count on him. If God spoke to him and told him to do a thing, he did it. He was faithful and trusted our Heavenly Father. Chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1, and it reads, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," which means in the Hebrew tongue, high father, and Abraham's name before it was changed by God himself, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Where was Abraham born? He was born in Ur. Where is Ur today? Well, it's in Iraq. It's right there in the country that's being very much passed over at this time with our own troops and everything else to make it a kind of a decent place whereby people are not murdered day and night by evil persons, hopefully. And it's being worked on. This is where this begins. It's in Iraq, in the city of Ur. You are. Verse 2. "And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." It always has been. Our father Abraham, spoken of, his faithfulness. And that was God's promise. Was there a condition connected to that? Usually when God makes a promise, there is a condition. There is no condition connected with this. It was God's promise, and so it is. Verse 3, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Why? Because through him would come Messiah, of course. But then that people that God would choose were good to people. And they were a blessing to all they come in contact with. If you have studied the history of God's Word, basically they were. Verse 4, so Abram departed. No questions asked. Hey, he obeyed. He departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Haran meaning a mountain or a mountaineer. Abraham had no children at this time, okay, because his wife Sarai was barren. So he took this nephew apparently with him, because Lot's father had already passed away, and Abraham kind of took him in. Verse 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, his nephew, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. God sent him, God gave him that land. Verse 6, and Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, which means this, that's the back or the shoulder, unto the plain of Moreh. Moreh is where my name Murray comes from, and you would never guess what that means in Hebrew. It means teacher. Okay? And the, that's the honest to God's truth. Okay? Does that have any connection with me? Not really. Not really. I keep working at it, all right? Verse, and continuing, Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. These merchants were there. No problem for our father. 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. This is to say your offspring. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. This is wonderful, and Abraham always sets a good example. You need a place to worship. All right. You don't necessarily have to have even an altar to tell Father you love him anymore, because Christ rent the veil from top to bottom, where you have access wherever you are, at any place, any time. And you don't even have to say it out loud, because our Father rent that veil whereby you can walk right into the Holy of Holies. If you fit the, you know what happens if you're not really correct if you walk in there, though. You won't always remember that, but He is very forgiving. Okay? But He built this place so He could be thankful to our Father for giving this to him. Always thank your Father when you receive blessings. Don't let it pass. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east side of Bethel. What does Bethel mean? It means the house. Beth is house and El is God, the house of God. And pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai means ruins, okay, on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham even journeyed, and he went even a little further to the south. Abraham would have many tests. Abraham always came through all of them. When we think of fathers, he's not one that gives up. God doesn't participate. He doesn't appreciate quitters. He doesn't come down on those that try and fail a whole lot. He's going to help you. But if somebody quits, it doesn't leave him much to work with, does it? So you want to always think about something and try something at least 3 times before you quit and go in a different direction. Then God's saying, hey, dummy, don't you know I don't want you to do it this way? Try it another way. But still don't be a quitter, okay? So he utilized Abraham. Something in passing, as we go by chapter 14 I want you to pick up on something that happened to Abraham, because it will come to light in the New Testament, and not many. This is not taught by all that many people, and it is ever so important. Chapter 14 of Genesis, pick it up if you would with verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem. What in the world does this word Salem mean? It means peace. How many kings of peace do you have? There's only one king of peace, prince of peace, and that's Christ himself. What does Melchizedek mean in the Hebrew tongue? It's very important. Melcha means king. Zedek means the just, the upright, God's elect. All right. How many of those do we have? Only one, and that's Christ himself. Melchizedek was not born to woman. He had no earthly father. He just appeared as the high priest of God. He was none other than Christ himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords at this particular time, blessing Father Abraham. God's way of making even Messiah in the futurist sense appear. The New Testament backs this up 100%, as you well know. And real quickly, I'm going to go to the New Testament. And, well, I don't have to turn there. You're all familiar with it, where Paul himself would say, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And Psalms 110 documents that this would be the Lord. The reason I'm covering this, I'm going to go to the New Testament in a few minutes, and you're not going to understand if you don't understand Melchizedek, all right? So, having said that, verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Okay, now what was it? I want to back up to 18, because there's something there very important. What did Melchizedek, king of Salem, he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Where have we heard bread and wine before in relationship to Christ? It was his body, and it was his blood. So, you know, pretty soon God is saying, hey, check it out. You know, are you getting it? Do you see it? Do you understand? This is Christ. He walked with God even at the very beginning. Why? He's the Word, and that's the Word we're studying. That's very important. Verse 20, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes and of all. Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, asking no questions. He knew who he was. He knew he deserved that tithe, and therefore paid tribute and worshipped Melchizedek. And it's all right to use that title, but I don't want you to be confused as to who it really was. Lock that in your mind a moment. If it bothers you, that's okay. Put it on the shelf. We'll clear it up here in just a few minutes. Go with me on to 17 now, chapter 17, verse 1. Poor old Abraham, he still doesn't have, he's supposed to be the father of multitudes, and he doesn't have any kids yet. You know, that's before you can, his feet be multiplied as the stars of the heaven and the sands of the sea. You got to start somewhere. Okay? 17 verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, when he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You be mature. 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. You're going to be greatly multiplied. Poor old Abraham's been pretty patient with this. He's 99 years old. Three, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, four, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, nobody else, with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Five, neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Our Father works in such miraculous ways. What did He do to Abraham's name? He took H. What in biblical numerics, what is the numerical value of H? It's 5. Because it's the 5th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And it always has to do basically with our Father's name. But basically it means grace. And this is where grace, it was God's grace, Abraham's unmerited favor, that God is about to bless him and Sarai with children to fulfill this promise that God made. Anytime you think God is not meeting your expectations, I'd be careful, my friend. God moves when He's ready, not when we are. Got that? You know, He expects you to love Him enough, utilizing common sense, of course, that you're able to serve Him with patience. So He puts the 5th letter of the alphabet, H, and of course the vowel in Hebrew is added by man, and it completes the name. He gives grace, adds grace, and he is called Abraham. But what does that do in the Hebrew tongue? It changes from the high father, Abe, to Abraham, a father of a multitude. Okay? All said and done. God keeping His word, in other words. 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And they would. Ultimately, from Isaac, then would come Judah, the king line, then would come Levi, the priest line, and then as written forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's why Melchizedek appeared to him. Okay, again, Psalms 110. Clarity. 7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And that is His promise. And in Isaac is the seed called, as it is written in Romans chapter 9. So it is. But Abraham had more children than just with Sarah, though also you want to remember, don't turn there, but if you were to turn to the 25th chapter of Genesis, you would find that Sarah, who we're going to change her name and put an H in here in just a minute, the 5th letter, as the 5th letter in Abraham, but she passed away or something happened to her and he remarried Keturah. And when he married Keturah, she gave birth to Midian. And it was the Midianites, of which Jael, father-in-law to Moses, was married into. Many people think that Moses married a Kenite just because they lived in the land of the Kenites. But not so. Not when you pay attention to God's word. How could Joel have Moses' father-in-law have been a Kenite, and he was a Midianite priest, a child of Abraham? That wouldn't work, see? So you have to keep up with that is geographical and that is by birth, okay, by blood. What does that have to do with Christ being acceptor of all? Nothing. But there are certain duties that peoples must do, and they must be wise enough to keep attuned. Okay, verse 8, and I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting, how long? Everlasting possession, and I will be, not maybe, I will be their God. This is why in Ezekiel chapter 16, God made an eternal wedding vow to the geographical location of Mount Zion, of what was then called Jebus, is now called Jerusalem, and the Mount. God said, this is my most favorite place in the whole universe. And he took her to, he even describes her as having an unclean birth because of the Jebusites. And then David conquered it, and it was then cleansed up, and he took her to wife. Okay, so that you could better understand the analogy of why God likes that place. And therefore, the covenant is everlasting, and that's important. All right? Why? Well, it's our Father's favorite place. Do you think in as much as he made the whole thing, that he's going to give his favorite place to somebody else? I don't think so. And he will make it peaceful and habitable to all. It is the center of everything. It is the center in Revelation chapter 21 of heaven. Man, boys, what? It's the center of heaven. Why? Because God's the center, and that's where he's going to be. That's why he said everlasting. Okay? Now, verse 9. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. Now, I don't know, do you? It's kind of important that you keep that covenant, that you know it, and that you understand it, because he expects it. Okay? Now, I want you to skip on, if you would, in this same chapter to verse 15. And verse 15 in this chapter reads, this is chapter 17, book of Genesis, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Now, what did we do here? The fifth letter in her name was changed from I to H. And what is H? The fifth letter in the alphabet, and it means grace. And through Sarai would come that grace. It changed her name from my princess to princess. In other words, she's the princess of all, not just my, like it was for Abraham. She was the mother figure, basically, through the coming. Verse 16, and I will bless her. I mean, she was barren up to this time. You understand? She's 90 years old. And give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And so it was. It came to pass. Verse 17, then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He was laughing with joy, okay? He wasn't laughing at God, okay? He's a little smarter than he was. I mean, he had waited a long time. And God's telling him, it's going to happen. And he laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Well, if God said it was going to happen, it happened, and it did happen, okay? I suppose I should say a thing on this in passing. It seemed in this case, and in Elizabeth, going all the way to the New Testament, the cousin to Mary, their conceptions took place a little late. And Mary, the virgin, her conception took place just a little bit early. Okay? So God is in control, and God acts and reacts, and his will is what we follow, not our own. OK? Okay. So, what? And what about this laughter? Abraham's laughing, but he's not going to laugh half as much as Sarah does. Sarah's going to laugh in more reasons than one, for laughter, for joy, perhaps, and how funny it is that a woman 90 years old is going to conceive. And so, what did they name the boy? Isaac. And what does Isaac mean? Laughter. And it still means that even to this day. Do you know what the word Saxons means? You should, if you know the migrations. Saxons means Isaac's sons. Is that all of them? Not nearly all of them. They're everywhere. So, many people marvel, but it's just downright simplicity when you follow our Father's word through. What is the main thing you should get from this? He keeps his promises. He doesn't mess around. You're not fooling around with some amateur when you follow him. He produces. When he speaks, it happens. Always remember, it happened in his time frame, not yours. Well, you don't understand. I'm a Christian. I want it now. Well, tough, poor baby me. You know, this is why I can't understand poor me baby people. Okay? Because God's people are patient, and they stand up and they act like children of God. And they know that God's will, if they're following God, it's going to happen in their life, sooner or later. In Sarai, who now let's call Sarah, with grace added, is blessed. And man, not only that, from her will come kings. What a mother. Okay, so there we have that promise from God of that birth. And of course, Abraham, if you know the story, Sarah kind of got a little tired of waiting, and she sent Hagar into the tent. And Abraham didn't seem to put up too big a fuss about it. And along come Ishmael, which is a little bit early, but from that come the people that, in part, that now live in Iraq, Egypt, and some other places. Verse 18, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael, this was his son by Hagar, might live before thee. He was afraid that God might be going to do away with him because he would have been the firstborn. You got it? But God doesn't work that way. The firstborn was from Sarah. And God said, Sarah thy wife will bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. God gave him the name Laughter. He's one of the people God named in the Bible. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. That's why it's written in Isaac's seed is the seed called. This is why it's written in Romans chapter 9 when God himself was speaking concerning this conception. He said, you know what? While these two boys were in their mother's womb, Jacob I loved, and Esau I hated. God kind of chooses whom it is that he will work with, and he knows them from the time they were with him. All right? And I speak of the first earth age. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begat, and they were, they covered Middle East, and I will make him a great nation. 21 to complete this chapter, our study here. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. at this set time in the next year, you're going to have a baby boy. It was God's promise, and guess what? It came to pass exactly as it was written. And you know a strange thing? Our Father wants you to learn a lesson from this. After waiting all this time, after the prayers of Sarah, how often she prayed and how jealous, kind of jealous she was that she could not conceive. And after all this waiting of Abraham, that he finally gets this offspring that God promised would become as numerous as the stars and the sands of the sea. That's a lot, okay? And here they wait. Well, God is about to do something that will test your, should I use the word okra? I'll say your metal, okay? Test your metal. What I want you to understand is this is the way sometimes he tests you. Knowing, you being familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, he will never test you over what you're able to bear. And he will always show you a way out. That's his double, triple A guarantee to you, that if you'll hang tough, you're going to be taken care of. It doesn't matter. You might get puffed up and get on a poor mean jag and, you know, poor baby and all that kind of stuff. But if you'll still believe and hang tough, he's going to show you a way through it. And I have found that we always win. Okay? I like that. I like to always win. And praise God, you know, if you do it his way, you're on the winning team. And there's no great miracle in that. Well, does that make you something special? Uh-uh. That's his promise to all of his children. That doesn't mean everything's going to be rosy, but I guess it means how quick can you take care of the bad stuff and get back in the rosy, all right? That's what it means, and that's what it says. So he's going to test. Turn with me to chapter 22. And when you would think everything's going rosy, I mean, Melchizedek has come down and blessed him, and God himself has come down and blessed him now with a son. And all of a sudden, God approaches him. Genesis 22. He does this in your life too, sometimes in ways you might not think of. And it came to pass, verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. To understand our Father, he doesn't like hothouse lilies. Do you understand the analogy of a hothouse lily? If you've studied horticulture or ever had any experience with it, you can take a hothouse lily, and it can be a beautiful day, but boy, the nights are cool, and you can take it out, and the direct sun, the dryness, and then the night chill, it kicks up its heels. It can't stand nothing. It's not really good for a whole lot than to look at under proper conditions, correct humidity, everything just right. Well, that's kind of the way I like it as a Christian. Oh, I got some bad news for you. It's not always going to be that way. But he promised me the rose garden. You done been promised by the wrong person. God never promised anybody a rose garden. Well, I just want to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Well, they crucified him. Now, you want to be careful what you ask for. If you want to be blessed, you will think about God's will, God's plan, and follow it. That's why he tempts Abraham. Make sure that he's got his shoes on right. You got it? What does that mean? I would hate to have to explain it. I have no idea. It just popped out. Okay? We're going to check his shoes out. Verse 2. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, that means chosen of God, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Do you know where this Mount Moriah is? It's on Mount Zion. It's a part of it, and that's where Christ was crucified. And here goes poor old Abraham taking his only son. Well, who else was it that had an only begotten son that they took up that mountain? And he became the sacrifice of all sacrifices other than God's own son, Jesus Christ. Just think of that as we're going through this. Poor old Abraham, though. How many would have said Abraham would have said, "Now, God, listen here, you tell me what it is you're wanting. Because if you're expecting me to go up there and sacrifice my boy, my only boy, on the altar, we better talk about this." He knew and trusted God enough to know that in this child was coming salvation to the world, that it would be multiplied, and if this was time God was going to make him Messiah, so be it. That was Abraham's frame of mind. He trusted God that much, okay? Verse 3, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him." Verse 4, "And then on the third day," we're getting on along here, "Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." I mean, he was coming up on that mountain, and it was still a pretty good little ways off, okay? "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here," you stay here, with the ass, "and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now stop and think about that statement. Did Abraham say, "If God causes me to sacrifice the boy, I will come to you"? No. Abraham said that the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We're both coming back. Now that's faith, my friend. That's to know God will tempt. He's going to obey, but he knows he'll be resurrected, turned into Messiah, or whatever it is God wants to do, because God has already made the promise through this particular boy will the blessings come. And Abraham trusted him, and he should have. Verse 6, "And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father." I mean, the lad's looking around and he's saying, "Hey, we got wood and we got fire, and he's got a knife. Who are we going to sacrifice?" Okay, this is the boy. "And he said, My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" 8, "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. God is going to allow Abraham to withhold his son. God would not withhold his son from the cross, though. And he's letting this be known at this time. 9, "And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son." He had the knife raised. 11, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. 12, "And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." To me, that kind of touches me, that God brought him to this point, and God knows he's going to have to offer his only begotten son. And he did it. He did it for you. He did it for all those that love him. What a father we have in our Heavenly Father. What a father Abraham was. Abraham was obedient. He did not withhold his son, but God blessed him because of that. Why? He had already promised him. Probably Abraham could have had a better thought had he known. He said his seed. Well, the boy didn't have any seed yet. He couldn't die till that was produced. But he trusted God enough that he obeyed. Think about obedience. 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, it's important that you listen here to what God does, is reaffirms for comfort, if you would. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which would be Yahweh Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Do you know what Jireh means? It means God provides. God provides. And anytime you read Yahweh Jireh, God is assuring you He provides. He takes care of business. He gets it done. Okay? It would be Yahweh Jireh that would bring His only begotten Son to the cross and allow Him to be crucified so that we sinners can repent and find wholesomeness in Him, righteousness in Him. Verse 15, And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. There can be no greater, my friend. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. We always will. Don't you ever worry about it. People wonder, well, how come this came to be a superpower? Because it's the migrations of those children. That we always control our gates. And we always will, because we're really something? No, because God promised. And besides that, we're really something. All right, we make a nice fighting machine. We handle the enemy when God is with us so easy. Well, we handle them. Verse 18, And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Do you want to know how to get God's attention? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. That makes God's day when someone obeys his voice, when someone does things his way. Open your Bibles to the New Testament, the great book of John, chapter 8. So we're going to take Father John here for a minute. I want you to, probably it's always good to know who you're talking to and about, right, when you're reading the Scripture. We're going to be talking about Jews here, but Jesus identifies them in verse 44. You want to be careful, because the Kenites claim to be of our brother Judah. And you've got to be right real careful. So St. John chapter 8, verse 44, let's understand who these people are where Jesus is talking about. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Then read verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye hear, therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's pretty strong talk, but I mean, if you want to know who we're really talking to, they claim to be of our brother Judah. But do you know who the first murderer was? Well, let's see now. Let me think. It's Cain, of course. And what is Cain's children's name in the Hebrew tongue that you can follow them through the Scriptures? Kenites. K-E-N-I-T-E-S. Okay? So we know, I just want you to be aware of who we're talking to here, okay? Verse 49, I want you to remember Melchizedek and everything we've covered up to this point. Jesus speaking, they accused him of having the devil, okay, when he said that to them. Well, it hurt their feelings when he called them not of God, okay, and said, you're of your father the devil. They got upset. I don't know why, they just did. And accused him of having a devil. And Jesus answers in verse 49 of St. John chapter 8. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I speak not mine own glory. I'm not trying to make a name for myself. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. That's our Heavenly Father. And who was he? Emmanuel, God with us. Verily, verily, 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now that throws a lot of people because we all lose loved ones. Yeah, but they're not dead. It's only the flesh that dies. And you know that as a Christian. You know that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Instantly, when this clay pot passes away, flesh, your spirit, which is the intellect of your soul, meaning your soul, returns to the Father that gave it. You do not die. You simply step into that spiritual body and return to the Father. And hey, it's a pretty good place if you're in good standing, all right? He said, you're never going to see death. That was the teachings of Christ. 52. Then said the Jews unto him, Kenites, among them, it could have been mixed. Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham, this is why we came here, Abraham is dead. And the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. That's right. Was Abraham dead? Of course not. The flesh died, yes. But Abraham went instantly and directly to our Father which is in heaven. 53. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou self, thyself? You know, it's amazing to me why people want to serve a God that lets people die and go into a hole in the ground. When he says, I love you. He said, I created you for my pleasure. And what he wants is he wants us with him, ultimately. But he has work for us. And you've got to finish that work. Sometimes it gets a little tough. And that's what this has kind of been about, is how tough life can be. But God knows you can do it. He knows you're not going to whine out and be a wimp. He knows you're going to do him proud. And he loves you for that. All right? Does that mean we understand anything? Wouldn't it be nice if we did? Maybe it wouldn't be so nice. It might scare you to death. But be that as it may, you know what you're supposed to know, and that's wonderful. Okay? God is the God of the living, not the dead. Okay? Verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. You even claim, my Father, you even claim for your God. In the Scriptures and through the miracles and so forth, 55, yet ye have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know him, and keep his saying. I keep his word, I teach it, I practice it. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. When did When did Abraham see Christ's day? When he appeared to him as Melchizedek, the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace, Melka, King. There's only one King of Peace. Only one. He's called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's when he saw him. For our Father is the God of the living and not the dead. All of life is not entailed within these little flesh bodies. Praise God. Yet, how precious it is in these flesh bodies when you know you're doing Father's work. Okay? Therefore, you can understand why Jesus could make that statement. 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That great sacred name. Then took, how did they appreciate this? Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. He disappeared and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed them. What a precious thing, and what a father Abraham was, that he set the stage. I wonder how many of us could exercise that kind of faith. I mean, without question, it's an example set forth, and you can understand why he is also in the great book of faiths, which is to say in the book of Hebrews, why that Paul would bring Melchizedek into the priesthood of Christ himself and basically tell you he is Christ. Okay, so was Christ, that is to say, and is, but now he has come in the flesh. God did not withhold him. He allowed him to be crucified. He did not die. He was transfigured. And he is with us always. And I thank our Father for that. Heavenly Father, our true Father. Heavenly Father, Father of all things. On this Father's Day, we thank you, Father, for your grace and your many blessings. Bless this family. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. 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 Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. And some of them probably went barefooted. And there were no blacktop roads to speak of, rock roads, brick roads. They walked in the dirt. When many of you that are country people, you can remember back when you was a child and went barefooted in the summer, and when you come back in the house, we would say, your feet are rusty. Rusty dirty, okay? And they would be, all right? You could hardly see toenails sometimes. And you had to kind of wash your feet before you could come into a house. Sometimes, unless your house had dirt floors also, that was also kind of a part of dugouts and other things in the south and west. But be that as it may, they got dirty. And what Christ was saying, when you walk in the flesh on this earth, you're going to get dirty. Why did Christ alone wash their feet? Because Christ alone can cleanse us from the dirty we get walking this earth. Now, I'm going to tell you what, somebody would sure lose out if they had to wash my feet and then me washing theirs, because mine are big, okay? They're 13 and a half, and my feet sometimes get the odor's not the... You know, if I've been out working and perspiring pretty good, they would probably wear a gas mask sometimes, maybe, to wash my feet. And then that, what would that help in teaching the analogy that Christ is the only one that can cleanse us from our sins? It wouldn't cut much weight. So, you know what I would tell the person from the other church? You really wouldn't want to know, because you probably wouldn't tell them like I would, all right? But tell them to sail their own ship. You're doing fine, all right? Or explain to them what I said. Maybe they'll quit. Who knows? But some people just maybe like to play with each other's toes. I don't know. Be that as it may. Faith from Wisconsin. As it's written in the book of Matthew, your angel has the face of God anytime you're in trouble. If you be one of God's elect, that is to say, if you try to please him, saints, set aside ones, okay? What if you're not one of God's elect? Does your angel still have the face of God anytime you're in trouble? Well, unfortunately, if you're not a follower of God, your angel probably isn't an angel of God. It's probably an angel of Satan. And yeah, he'll help you out anytime you want him. I wouldn't want his help. Now, I wouldn't worry about that a whole lot, and I certainly don't want to frighten people. But there are some evil spirits in this world. And if you're not in God's way, the reason God protects his elect is he depends on them. Because they, as we learned in this first chapter of this great book of Ephesians, they were chosen before the foundation because they were good fighters against Satan. They didn't give or budge. They can cut it, all right? Anyway, I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all a bunch for one simple reason. You enjoy studying God's Word in more depth, or you wouldn't be listening to this program. And main thing, God loves you for it. You know something? He wrote you this letter so that you could understand his feelings, his love, and it just makes his day. When you study his word, let him know that you love him. Won't you do that? We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Won't you do that? Bless God. You know what? He will always bless you. But there's one thing that's really so very important in your life. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a blessing, uplifting, and it's a good day, even when there's trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ, he is the living Word.
God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program.